Turn back to Revelation, chapter 22, verse 17 has my attention this morning. Actually, the verse, if you'll look in verse 22, there's not one, is there? But there is. I put verse 22 by the end. I wrote verse 22 by the end. That's the one that had my attention. For days, I've been thinking about the end of the Revelation. And this whole book is a revelation. Not just the book of Revelation, but the whole book is a revelation. But I got stuck on verse 17. So maybe the Lord will give me a, maybe it was just for me. Sometimes I wake up in the wee hours of the morning and a scripture will be on my mind and I'll preach a whole sermon. I think I'll preach that. And I get over to the study and I can't even remember it. The way it was given to me, you know, laying there in bed. But there might be a message in the end. Because there is an end. But this morning, the message is this. Come to Christ. Come to Christ. That's the message. The Word of God has much to say about coming to Christ. Everyone whom God saves, everyone whom He saves comes to Christ. Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life of everyone whom God saves. The gospel does not shut sinners out of heaven. You know that? It does not shut sinners out of heaven. Sinners shut themselves out by their unbelief and refusal to come to the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, in Hebrews, it tells us that those who did not enter into the promised land did not enter in because of one reason. One reason. Unbelief. They did not believe God. I want you to listen to these scriptures. In John 5:40, the Lord said this, "And you will not come to me that you might have life." You will not come. That's your problem. And over in Matthew 22, verses 1 through 5, there's a king who gives a marriage for his son. He has a marriage for his son. And he sent forth his servants to call them that were bidden or called. Called to the wedding. They were invited, bidden, called, commanded to come. And it says, and they would not come. They would not come. Again, he sent forth other servants, saying, tell them which are bidden or called. Behold, I have prepared my dinner, my oxen and my fatlings are killed, and all things are ready. Come unto the marriage. But they made light of it. They made light of it. The gospel call goes out and people make light of it. And it says they went their ways, one to his farm, another to his merchandise. And then in Luke 14, listen here. In 16, it says, then said he unto him, a certain man made a great supper. You see, the first one made a king made a marriage for his son. This one made a great supper. And he bade many, he called many to this supper. And sent his servant at supper time to say to them that were bidden, come, come. For all things are now ready. Don't bring anything, just come. For all things are ready. And they all with one consent together began to make excuse. The first said unto him, I have bought a piece of ground and I must needs go and see it. Who buys a piece of ground and doesn't first see it? These are lame excuses, what it was showing here. These are just lame excuses that people make up. And then listen, and another said, I have bought 5 yoke of oxen and I've got to go prove them. Now, who does that? Who buys 5 yoke of oxen and he doesn't know whether they're any good or not? I pray thee, have me excused. And another said, I have married a wife, and therefore I cannot come. And down in verse 24 of Luke 14, he says this, "For I say unto you that none of those men which were bidden shall taste of my supper." None of them that were called, and they refused. God said, "I called and you refused." He said, "They will not taste of my supper." But the message of the gospel is this. It's this. Come. Come. In verse 17, "And the Spirit and the bride say, Come. And let him that heareth say, Come. And let him that is athirst, come. And whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely." Now, in the first part of this verse, it says, "And the Spirit and the bride say, Come. And let him that heareth say, Come." Who are they talking to? Who's the Spirit and the bride talking to? Well, first of all, the Spirit and the bride are speaking to the Lord Jesus Christ. They're asking him to come. They're asking him to come. For back in verse 12, he says, "And behold, I come quickly." And the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, and the bride, which is the church, are asking the Lord to come. The Spirit and the bride and him that heareth, they want the Lord to come quickly. Let me ask you a question. Do you want the Lord to come now? Now. Do you really want him to come now? I can say with a clear conscience, absolutely. Absolutely, I want the Lord to come. I want him to come, and I want him to come quickly. Now, the first thing that's on our minds are those loved ones that are lost. Does he not know that? Does he not know that? He knows that. And so the Spirit and the bride say to the Lord Jesus Christ, "Come quickly, come." Even so, he says in verse 20, look in verse 20, "He which testifieth these things saith, Surely I come quickly, amen. Even so, come, Lord Jesus." Now, until he comes, the call goes out from the Spirit and the bride and him that heareth, the call goes out to come. Come to Christ. Come to the Lamb of God. Come to him. Now listen to these scriptures. In Isaiah 55:1, and this is throughout the whole Word of God, "Ho, everyone that thirsteth, come. Come ye to the waters, and he that hath no money, come ye buy and eat. Yea, come, buy wine and milk without money and without price." Come, he says. Three times in this verse, the command and is this, come. Come to me, he says. The Lord says, come to me. Come to me. Are you thirsty to know God? Are you thirsty to be forgiven? To be righteous? He says, come. Come. Would you have fellowship with God? Would you have fellowship with the living God? He says, come. He says, come. In John 21:12, listen to this. Jesus saith unto them, come and dine. Come and dine. He prepared for his disciples a dinner there, and he said to them, come and dine. Do you want life, eternal life? He says in Isaiah 55:3, incline your ear and come unto me. Hear, and your soul shall live. Do you want rest? Then come. In Matthew 11:28, he says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Come to me. It's so free. It's so wide open. He says, come to me. Come to me. All that we need is in Christ. And he says, come to me. And let him that heareth say, come. Not only say, come to Christ, Lord Jesus, come. But to say to those to whom he witnesses, to come to Christ. Spurgeon said, we ought to tell the people on the street to come, the people at home to come. Everyone we meet, we need to say, come to Christ. We need to tell them to come to Christ. You remember that woman at the well? That woman at the well, she said when she, after she had spoken to the Lord, she went back to her city where she lived, and she said, "Come here, a man that told me everything I ever did." Invite sinners to come and hear the gospel, to come and hear the Lord Jesus Christ. Who knows? God might save them. He saved you. He just might do that. And then in verse 17, it says, "And let him that is athirst come." And everyone that I read said, this is the Lord speaking now. This is the Lord speaking through his church. "Let him that is athirst come." This is not a natural thirst. As the woman at the well thought, he said, "Whoever drinks of this water shall never thirst again." She said, "Well, give me this water so that I won't come here and draw water no more." He wasn't speaking of the water of this life. If whatever you drink of this life, you're going to thirst again. But he that drinks of me, the water of life, will never thirst again. This is a spiritual thirst. Thank God. Thank God if you have a real spiritual thirst. If God has given you a real interest in Christ, a real interest in salvation, a real interest in being forgiven, a real interest in being made righteous, thank God for that. Because you don't naturally have that, do we? You and I don't naturally have that. I read to you what we naturally have. You will not come to me that you might have life. This thirst is a spiritual thirst. He says in Matthew 5:6, "Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled." Here's a promise. If you have this thirst, he's going to fill it. He's going to fill it. And then this thirst is to know Christ. 40-some years have gone by since I've believed the gospel, since I heard and believed the gospel. I can honestly say, I can say that I want to know Christ more now than I did then. I can say that. I want to know Christ more now. I want to know more of what Paul said. Paul said, "Oh, that I might know the power of his resurrection." And what he's saying is that I might know the power of his resurrected life in me as I live out my life day by day. I want to know that. I want to know that. Listen to Paul here in Philippians 3, 8 through 10. "Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I suffered the loss of all things and do count them but dung." I don't grieve over them. I don't look back and see what I've lost. I was used to have a lot of money. I think Paul was a rich man one time. Many think he was that rich young ruler that came to the Lord and went away sorrowful because, and it says the Lord loved him. Many think that was the Apostle Paul as a young man. I don't know. But Paul did not look back and grieve over anything he gave up for Christ's sake. Nothing. You know, I think when we come to die, I think when every believer comes to that hour to die, I think this, and I think this for myself, and I think this is so for most all of those who believe. I think if there's any regrets, it's going to be that I didn't seek the Lord more than I did, that I didn't read more than I did, that I didn't pray to him more than I did, that I didn't love him more than I did. It's not going to be because of something I've lost materially. It's because of my relationship to him that I could have been in the service more. I could have read the Word of God more that speaks of him. I'm about to meet him. I'm about to meet him. Oh, he says here, "I have suffered the loss of all things, and I count them but dung, that I may win Christ, that I might have him and be found in him. Not having mine own righteousness, which at one time he did, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection, that I may know him more and more." You cannot exhaust the knowledge of Christ. He's the wisdom of God. You cannot exhaust knowing him. "That I might know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death." It's the thirst to know him. Oh, that I might know him. It's the thirst to be reconciled to God, to be right with God, to be one with God. I want to be one with God. You want to be one with God? I want to walk with God like Enoch did. Enoch walked by faith. It's a thirst to have the reigning power of sin broken. I would to God that I didn't sin anymore. I sin far more than I want to. You know, if a believer, if every one of you who believe, if you live like you wanted to, if you live like you wanted to, you wouldn't sin again. You wouldn't sin again. I'm not afraid of allowing and telling a believer to live like they want to, because their want to is to live after Christ. If not, there's a real serious problem there. I want to live after him. I want that power of sin broken. And then there's someone else here mentioned. He that's athirst, but there's someone else here. Whosoever will. Whosoever will. Now, the gate, the door cannot be opened any wider than this. I can't open it any wider. The Lord, the God of heaven and earth, cannot open the door any wider than whosoever will. It's the same as in John 7:37, in the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, "If any man thirst, whosoever thirst, let him come to me and drink. Whosoever will." You know when the Lord convicts of sin, when he's saving a sinner, you're in a state of, you're really in a mess. You're really in a mess. You don't even understand that what you have is a thirst. But I tell you what you can understand is your desire and your willingness to come to Christ. I want to be saved. Lord, save me. Save my soul and make me whole. I'm not going to throw away this scripture because of the misuse of it by false religion. I'm not going to do that. Whosoever will, let him come. Let him come. Do you have the will? Do you have the will, the desire to come to Christ for salvation, for righteousness? Then come. Come. I listened to 4 messages on this portion of scripture just yesterday. I didn't put this together till yesterday because I couldn't get settled on it. But I listened to 4 messages, and I'm telling you what, those 4 messages blessed my heart, and those 4 messages had me coming to Christ. I mean, like I said, Lord, if I've never come to you before, let me come now. Let me, if I've never done it in sincerity, if the past has not been truthful, let me do it now. I tell you, those messages blessed my heart. I listened to 4 of them. 1 by Henry, 2 by Henry, I think it was, or 1 or 2 by, and 2 by Bruce. It was such a blessing. It was a blessing. I have no problem with whosoever will, because I know that thy people shall be willing. You know, everyone whom God saves, he makes willing to be saved. He makes them willing. He makes them willing to come to Christ. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me. And all that the Father giveth me, I will no wise cast out. Everyone whom God saves is willing to be saved, to come to Christ. Whosoever will. I know we sang a song here the other night. I think it was Praise the Savior. It said that all may go in. And that was scratched out in the book here. It said that his may go in. And that's right. And that's very Calvinistic. But if you want to make it Bible, write it down there like this. That whosoever will may go in. I'm not afraid to put that there. I'm not afraid to scratch that out and put whosoever will may go in. That's the word of God. That's the word of God. That whosoever will, let him take of the water of life freely. Listen to this. Everyone who perishes does so because they will not come to Christ. That's the truth. Christ said, "You will not come to me that you might have life." If anyone perishes from this congregation, from sitting here this morning, you're listening to this message, come to Christ, come to me. I promise you this, you'll remember this message. You'll remember this message. When the Lord said, "Come to me," and you refused, and you would not. You would not. And notice he says to those who come, let him take the water of life freely. What is this water of life? Well, over in John 7, 37, 38, listen. In the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. The water of life is a person. He that believes on me. This is what it is to come to Christ. It's to believe on him. It's not a physical move. It's a spirit. It's the heart going out to Christ. He that believes on me, as the scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. And I like what he says here. Let him come to me. Don't hinder him. Don't hinder him. Don't put a fence around Christ. Don't start with certain doctrines one has to believe. We start with Christ, the Son of God. That's who we believe. Listen, Philip started in Isaiah 53 with that eunuch, and you know what it says he did? It says he preached Jesus. That's what it says. He preached Jesus unto them. You get him right, and you'll get the rest of it right. But you can get the other part of it right. You get the theology of it right and miss him and perish. You can literally come to doctrine and never come to Christ. But my soul, if you and I come to Christ, we'll get the doctrine right. And not only will we get it right, we'll love it. It will love it, and it'll have life. You know, justification lives. It lives with me. It lives. You know why? Because I'm guilty. If you never know you're guilty, justification doesn't mean anything. It doesn't mean anything. But boy, if you're guilty and you know it, being justified means everything, doesn't it? Being cleared of all charges means everything. It means everything. And listen, let him come and take the water of life freely, no charge. How wide open is this? This water's free. Christ said, come and drink. If any man thirst, let him come and drink. I tell you, when I hear scriptures like this, when I read scriptures like this, and sermons that I heard preached like this, I drink again. I come to drink again. Lord, let me drink. Let me drink this morning. When we come to Christ, it never stops. He said, well, this sermon's not for me. I came to Christ 40 years ago. No. What about this morning? Who are you coming to? I didn't just come to this service this morning. I'm coming to Christ this morning. And the Lord is speaking this morning. The Spirit and the bride say, come. Come. Come and drink freely. Freely. And the word also, he says here, take. Take. It means to take in yourself. This word has the meaning of violence. Violence. You know, the scripture says the kingdom of heaven suffereth violence, and the violent take it by force. And the thought to go with that is Jacob. Remember when he wrestled with the angel? When he wrestled with the Lord? He said, I will not let you go till you bless me. If you take someone that's in the desert, and they've been there days, and they've not had a drink of water in days, and you have a canteen in your hand, and they get a hold of that canteen, you're not getting it back. They will violently take it away from you. It's life. There's life in that water. And a sinner, when he's bidden to take Christ, to take the water of life, if by the grace of God they are able to lay hold of him, they are not going to let go. It doesn't matter what trial comes along, you're not going to let go. He's life. He's life. Take means to drink. It means to take in yourself. It means to take and lay hold of and not let go. Listen here in John 6, 54 and 56. Whoso eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood hath eternal life. That's what it is to take. It's by faith to eat his flesh and drink his blood. And I'll raise him up at the last day. For my flesh is meat indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. He that eateth my flesh, drinketh my blood, dwelleth in me, and I in him. Take and drink. That's to receive Christ in you. In you. Now, last of all, whosoever will, this morning, and I'm going to tell you this, I'm one of them. Lord, I will. I will. I have a desire for you to save me, cleanse me, teach me, instruct me, guide me, and be my Lord, save me. Whosoever will, come to Christ and take of the water of life freely. Scott Richardson said this, and I've never forgotten it. Why will you die when the water is so close by? Oh, sinner, why will you die when the water is so close by? All right. We're going to go downstairs after this and have a dinner.